Okay. Is Adra with us today?
I don't know.
Okay. We've got Bridget.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could be her mom went into the hospital with a. She's been there for the last 5 nights with emergency colon surgery. They had to take out part of her colon, so.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
My guess is that she's probably dealing with getting her out of the hospital this morning, but that's strictly a guess. Yeah.
Well, she could catch up on the recording or chime in if she's able to get on, and we'll catch her up, so no worries there.
Okay.
So, you know, I'd like to, you know, it's been kind of a week before since our last call, so what I'd like to do is just start with anything that's on your mind regarding the program and, you know, just catch up for a bit. That sounds like someone just chimed in, or?
Yeah, somebody called me on my cell, and it's it's not Otter, it's somebody else, but I'm going to turn it off so it doesn't.
Okay. All right.
Action. Sorry about that.
So you want to start with Bridget. Bridget, tell me what's on your mind in terms of the program, how you feel things are going, and any questions that you have at this point.
I think things are going good.
Okay.
They're a little, everything's kind of jammed right now, but it's just because we have so many RBC things going on, so we've got a lot more paperwork. So I think probably everybody's tired, but tired of paperwork.
I'm sure.
So it's not really the Supernova deal. It's more of a combination of everything. But I think I think it's going really well. I think Kelly's doing a really good job sending out the room the follow up email.
Okay.
Scheduling is going a little bit better, and it'll probably just continue to get better. But yeah, I think we're still new and trying to get kind of into that groove and fit it all in with everything else we're supposed to be fitting in.
You know, if there was maybe one aspect of the program that you think maybe we need to go back and revisit or spend a little more time with, is there anything that comes to your mind?
I don't know. I mean, I just kind of trying to get the folder thing down. I don't know. You know, maybe there's some other stuff in the details that I missed early on. Some of the stuff Kelly was sending you. Maybe that, you know, some of the planning projection type of things that I really didn't even read all of.
Yeah, that's still a work in progress. So no worries there.
But you know, I feel like we know what we're supposed to be doing, and we're executing about 75% of it. And
that's pretty good.
25% is just gonna have to come with time, and it's kind of not gonna happen all at once. It just doesn't seem naturally that it would anyway. Like the mini folders are not we're out there yet. We don't have all the content. And I feel like me and Kelly kind of agreed that we don't really want to mail them out to clients.
No.
Give them to them. So, you know, I don't know if there's a rush to get those. I mean, I want them complete, but I don't know if there's a, you know, they really need to go either in person or with a new account. So we're still we're not there yet with those because we don't have all of the content.
Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure that you, I think it's in chapter 14 in the manual where it really does discuss the contents of the folders. But we know that the one thing I do want you to know that it is a work in progress. It is hard to embrace 100% of so much content that you have been given in the last you know, 11 weeks. It's been a lot. So I have to commend you on how much you've gotten done thus far. How about you, Kelly? Anything resonate with you? Anything that's on your mind?
I think Bridget hit the nail on the head. I think everything she said was spot on. I think one of the things I mentioned this in earlier calls, so I won't belabor the point, but you know, I needed to spread out my appointments more, and we really did load up that first month, largely because we've got some DOL reporting requirements. I felt like, honestly, Supernova solves for in many ways. In other words, I think one of the really strong parts of this program, especially when we get the full implementation, and you know, we're not at 75%, but we're at closer to like 95% to 100%. It's the fact not only a growth model in terms of freeing up time for your business, but I think compliance officers and people like that to really look under the hood. And you know, I think it'll become a lot more apparent to them, like maybe 9-12 months down the road when they look into the notes section and they see all these follow up emails and things like that, where they're like, wait a minute, you know, we used to stay on Kelly's butt about putting notes in his you know, client view so that we can see the devices given and stuff like that. I really like the fact that our systems are set up now to where I can just push a button and send an email and automatically save it into the compliance file. And it's no extra mouse clicks for Bridget. It's no extra mouse clicks for me. It gives me a task list that I can follow when I'm you know, have like 20 clients with, you know, a couple of things each that they need or whatever, so that we're staying on top of servicing what we've got. I still feel like my follow-up is slower than what it needs to be or could be, but I think that's more or less me kind of getting used to a new workflow.
Yeah, new system.
System. So I think month two is going, and will go, subsequent months will go smoother than the first month. First month was bad. It's just I learned some things that I needed to change, and so we're going to have to work out those kinks. Bridget's been great. Audrey's been helpful as well, and I think overall things are going pretty well.
Good. Well, today, you know, we wanted to, I think because we put in the planning and the go-to meeting, we're probably, as far as the manual is concerned, we're probably a week behind. So when you see week 12, while it is week 12, I think we should still catch up on the additional week. So no worries there. This particular week is really about leadership and talking about some of the failure points in Supernova where people don't really execute as well, where it could be a meaningful difference in their business. And so what we do is we talk about the failure points for acquisition, team accountability, the game board, and the team communication and business planning.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah. So we talk about the failure points for acquisition. You know, all of a sudden folks are doing Supernova, but, you know, they're not getting the new client relationship flow that they should be getting out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
The team accountability, where there's certain responsibilities by team members that aren't being either grasped or executed on.
Okay.
The game board, which is this really... at the end or the beginning of a week, going through a review of where are we, what have we executed on relative to our goals. I put a sample game board also in your business planning and strategy document. So there's a template there that you could copy and use. in terms of identifying, you know, some of the things we think you should measure, but putting in the things that you think you want to look at each week to see, you know, how you're doing. Then there's the team communication and business planning that we have spent a fair amount of time on. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things about getting all team members on the call is that everybody chimes in, everybody gets used to communicating. For some teams, it's a real issue because they don't communicate that well. You know, your team seems to do very well, and you always defer to your other team members and you let them speak, and that's really, really good. Up to this point, Supernova really never had a formal business plan and strategy document based on the Supernova model. So that's why I decided to spend a little more time on that. And so that's what your plan is. And that's something that you ought to probably, once you have it, you know, completed, is something that you want to look at. You know, take a cursory look once a month and see how you all are doing relative to what you set out to do. And then the final component there is individual development.
Okay.
And individual development are any special skills and development. By taking the step to get into Supernova, that's a huge step in terms of development. And so you've taken that initiative, and now I think on an ongoing basis, you have to think about, you know, what are the other needs that might be out there? And, you know, that's something that, that I have tried to do personally myself. And there's so much content out there. Like, I probably subscribe to probably 7 or 8 online, trade journals for advisors, like Investment News Daily, Financial Planning, Advisor Hub, just a number, RIA Biz, just to make sure that I'm up to speed with the topics that are out there and being discussed, as well as technology in terms of what's going on in the robo-advised space, the artificial intelligence space. So, you know, think about individual development and staying educated and up to speed. And that's part of leadership where you're constantly saying, what else do we need to learn? Not that you want to get overwhelmed, but what else can we get better at that we want to try to do? So think about that. And, you know, in terms of individual development. And that's kind of a leadership initiative. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next, thing that, and you could put some of that as an initiative in your business plan. There's room for that there. Okay. I want to talk about some failure points, for acquisition, which I think are the impediments to success that keep teams from really making the incremental jump. But I have to say that what I've seen from your team in terms of acquisition, it's been pretty good in just a short period of time. This is Audra. How are you?
I am so sorry for my tardiness.
Well, that's okay. And, you know, everyone indicated that you, you know, had a couple of priorities that you had to attend to. So no worries. And we're just kind of getting started on some of the topics, Audra, which were discussing failure points for acquisition, team accountability, the game board, team communication and business planning, and individual development. And then we had everybody just kind of chime in terms of, you know, where they felt they stood with the program thus far. So let's make sure we, when we get toward the end, that we give your feedback as well.
Okay.
So this chapter is more about leadership now and how we lead in each of the respective areas. So each of you are leaders in your respective areas in terms of delegated responsibilities. So then we started talking about failure points for acquisition, you know, which is a real impediment to teams making the gains and the leap. And I wanted to just review those so they're kind of embedded in your mind. The first one is the failure to segment, okay? Now, what do I mean by that? You're segmented already, okay? You're working with the people that you want to work with. But now, as you begin to start onboarding new relationships on an ongoing basis, you will need to evaluate who you can continue to work with. That's an ongoing process so that we don't go from, you know, 85 household relationships to 150, which you can't apply the 12-4-2 model, okay? So what happens is that the things that kind of bogs people down is when they started to get too many accounts that they couldn't service and they didn't elevate their targets. So you're establishing targeted clients in terms of assets that you're going after, and I'm just saying that over time, you have to, I mean, once a quarter, just evaluate, are targets still on track? Do we need to raise the level of client that we're willing to work with? Okay? So that's what's meant by the failure to segment. It's kind of like you can't go do it once and then, you know, don't do it again for the next 3 years. It's a process. Okay. Any questions on that one?
Nope.
Okay. The second one is the failure to set up and follow through with the monthly contact, okay? So what this means is that you have to get all of your clients on the service model with their mini-me folders. Because what's going to happen is that is really going to be the key to getting the referrals and not having to work as hard in terms of, you know, increasing or building this, you know, ultra high net worth, you know, client base. So, you know, making sure that everything gets scheduled on the calendar becomes critical. Okay, so that you are circling through, you know, 100% of your clients once a month. You know, they're getting their 12 contacts. They're getting their 4 reviews. 2 of them are being in person. They're getting a 1-hour response to problems, Bridget, with a 24-hour resolution. Those are the little things that are going to enable you to really grow also. Okay, any questions on that point?
I've got one comment, not so much a question, but more of a comment.
Okay. Sure.
I think what we're going to be doing is we have like a monthly meeting, and I think it'll be helpful to take the business planning portion of what we've done with you so far, Curtis, incorporate, you know, the monitoring of the annual goals back to the monthly meeting.
Right.
And I think that'll help facilitate teamwork within the group, accountability, and all those things that are helpful when you're reaching for goals.
Sure.
The first month we go over that together will be this month, and I think it'll be more focused on you know, let's just revisit what we've committed on paper as our goal, so that everybody has a good, firm grasp of where we're headed and why we're heading in that direction. Doesn't mean we won't adapt and change depending on what market, whatever gives us, not in terms of market for stocks, but, you know, just feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, if we find a good niche and we're hitting it, we want to keep drilling it, and not necessarily, you know, we want to go where the opportunity is based on what we find as we go through this process together. So I'd like to incorporate that into the monthly meeting. Also, what I'd like to do is
good idea.
That we have a firm grasp on calendar. I've got the call scheduled. That's not an issue. What we need to do is maybe color code every quarter where, well, no, never mind. I'm kind of thinking out loud here, but I mean, I'll know whether it's a quarterly review that month, so that's not an issue. But I think what we do need to kind of hone in on is making sure that our calendar for annual reviews, the two face-to-face visits, make sure that that's in sync with the other calls that are outbound calls. And so I'll get with Bridget on that, and we'll figure out there. Because we've got the calls scheduled, and we're doing them, and the folders are in great shape. And, you know, those are all things that we really didn't have the first go 9 years ago. I first did this, however long ago it was. So I feel like we're going to do really well. But I want to make sure that we get that annual
annual review,
face-to-face reviews in sync on the calendar. And that's something that I should have gotten with Bridget on already and just hadn't done it.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe one of the things you do by a name is you put, you know, use something like IPR, in-person review.
Yeah.
TPR, you know, telephonic personal review or planning review, what have you. But, you know, you could create a code and just put it on your calendar. And then when you're sending out your executive summaries and you're getting into the next steps, you simply indicate that on our next meeting is going to be, you know, a review. And so everybody knows that that's coming up.
There you go. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So you'll always know. And the folders, you know, if I walked into your office, I would typically see on your back credenza four folders. And these folders, and then you look at your calendar. Those are the folks that you're having calls with. You open them up. It's already got the agendas. You know what you're going to talk about. The client agenda is always the first part of the agenda. You know, what's on your mind? Has anything come up between our last call? And so you have your notes. You're ready. Okay. So the third failure point is just the failure to get into the referral aspect. And one of the things I wanted to really make clear is we're not really, you know, so much asking for referrals. Hey, how about a referral today? But we're working the VISPA model here, where you're getting personally introduced by existing clients. And these are coming about because your service model is now very, very exceptional. Okay? So that's the thing, but you have to work the model. There are some FAs, when you look at this whole formula we put together, 96, you know, 4, 2, 1, social media, there are some that just really work that VIPFA model, and that's all they do. And that there have been people who have been doubling their business just working that. Okay. The fourth point is the failure to develop your centers of influence. They're there, but you've got to have some isolated meetings. It's either lunch, sometimes it's a dinner. You're thanking them for the people that they have referred to you. You're honing in on exactly the type of client that you're looking to work with. And so, develop your centers of influence. You should probably have 5 or 6 of those. Okay, any questions on the center of influence?
Nope.
No.
Okay. And remember, they get scheduled too. They get put on the, they get a folder and they get scheduled. Okay. Now, the mastermind group, I don't know what your feeling is on that, whether or not that's something that you see working for you, where, you know, you've got a group of 4, it might expand, but it's a group of folks that are kind of like-minded, are in the full support of helping each other grow the business. And I think, you know, we kind of talked about maybe a CPA sits on that group, maybe an estate planning attorney sits on that group, you know, maybe a pension consultant, you know, sits on that group, where you're talking about the type of client that each other would like to work with. Okay. So that's the mastermind group. All right. Any questions on that one?
An observation, and then I want to remind Audra of a question that she had that we had talked about earlier in the week, and we had both decided to sort of have her sort of pitch that question to you because it's in the vein of this mastermind group concept.
Okay.
The observation is we've got about 3 potential mastermind groups, one scheduled for monthly meetings.
Okay.
The other one verbally agreed to meet monthly.
Okay.
And I won't get into the details right now in the interest of not hogging the call here of where those specialty practices come from, but we've got one scheduled for monthly visits and actually 2 others. There's actually 3 others that have indicated meeting on a regular basis to help develop business. So we're getting the initial interest. Now, are all 4 of those groups going to make? We think they can. Is it going to be us and them and probably 1 other person? Probably so. How many of them are going to stick? I don't know. I mean, I feel like if we had 2 regular mastermind groups and we looked up a year from now and we're still meeting and we're regularly referring business back and forth, that probably 2 is all we need, 2 really good ones. We're not going to turn down a 3rd, but, you know, I feel like if we form 4 and 2 stick, that's a success and that we'll get plenty of business to give to them and them to us, vice versa. To that issue, you know, 1 of them scheduled regularly now. The other 3 were in the process of scheduling, and we should have that wrapped up in the next couple of weeks, getting that nailed down. Audra has been working. I've been working with Audra, but Audra's been working more behind the scenes than I have with one particular potential candidate for a mastermind group, and I'll let her speak to that in more detail here if that's okay with you.
That's fine, sure.
Okay, because she's got some questions around that, and I do too, but she's closer to that situation than I am because she's had more in-depth discussions with the individual that we have questions about. Wanted to get your feedback on it.
Okay, go ahead, Audra.
Okay, so this is an insurance agent that is also a certified financial planner who is wanting to refer business back and forth to each other. He has zero interest in any of the wealth management portion of things. We are interested, but at the same time have some concerns. And, you know, the reality is we like to approach life with the belief that we can't be the first person in probably any situation that we've ever been in. And if we ask enough questions to people around us, they've either been in the situation or know somebody that has been in the situation and can avoid pitfalls. And, and so our concerns are basically, you know, he seems very interested. You know, I almost get the impression that I'm getting sold a little bit by him, which gives me a bit of a red flag, but I tend to be, you know, I like to call it a pragmatist when it comes to people. I think Kelly would call it otherwise. But I guess what I'm trying to say is you know, the red flags go up all the time in my world, and not always justifiably so. So, you know, but I do feel like he's selling us somewhat, and we just want to make sure, what can we do to, if this is a relationship that we decide to pursue, that it is a relationship that is peaceful and fruitful for everybody, that it's not one-sided, that it is compliant. You know, he's talking about things that, you know, maybe these are things that he's done with RIAs that don't have the same degree. But, you know, he's like, you know, well, we can create an LLC or, you know, you can just email me from a personal email address. And, I mean, funny things that other advisors I just can't imagine.
That's
what
I'm willing to do, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, he fixed that pretty quickly, you know, and so now he's really thinking within the realm of just, well, you know, well, you just, you know, refer clients that you feel need, you know, a planner from a planning point of view in which insurance could be one of the tools, and I'll refer to you people that need wealth management help, and, you know, you're in control of the relationship of the people that you bring to me, and I vice versa, you know, we're each the respective account executive, so to speak, unless they sign on and, you know, then we move forward. So we just want to make sure that nobody's stepping on anybody's toes. How do we maneuver this? Because this is different than referring to a CPA. You know, I mean, there are more defined boundaries in that relationship than there are in this.
Well, I think you hit 95% of it, and my only 2 cents worth is just that his business model seems to revolve around, and I guess this is where I'm a little kind of uncomfortable, I guess is the right word. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to resonate with me, or Audra for that matter, all that well. But it seems to be, you know, he wants to, well, actually, two things I'm going to say, one of which Audra's already addressed with him. We had the concern that he would try to dominate the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way she sort of cut him off at the pass was like, fine, if you bring us into a deal, then you can dominate that relationship because you're making that introduction. But if we introduce you into a deal, we expect to still be the quarterback with that head coach, with the head coach, of course, being the client. So I think that was the really good way to, and Audra's effectively already communicated as much to him. And I think that's reasonable in what one would expect, right? But the
Can I interject before you move on? I also emphasized throughout the entire conversation, and I felt, and I feel this strongly, that the key to this is going to be open communication and collaboration. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it is going to be dependent on us to communicate with him, and he with involves, you know, everything surrounding what we're going to be proposing to the client. Nobody, no surprises. But at the same time, if anybody gets their nose out of joint, then on the front end, we need to commit to talking about anything that is bothering us or him before just saying, you know, screw it, we're done. And I just kind of put that all under the umbrella of, you know, in life, any collaboration is going to be completely dependent on 100% open communication.
Okay. Well, let me maybe speak to this a little bit, because it is quite interesting, and, you know, and I will tell you that, you know, I spent time working at Cigna before I joined, you know, Merrill Lynch and went on to a 30-year career. So I'm very familiar, you know, with that insurance business. Here's the challenge. You know, you're in the financial services business. So what we need to do is say that the boundaries between what these insurance folks are doing, they're trying to drive toward your business, and wealth management is transforming into a holistic approach and capability. Okay?
That's what I was going to bring up next, but I don't need to because you're already on it. So keep going.
Yeah. So what happens then is the collaborative model. And I discussed this in a book I've written, is what we call a force multiplier effect, where a small agile team now has the power and the strength of a multi-dimensional team. But once the business goes outside the ecosystem where there are competing objectives, so to speak, that becomes a problem. Okay? Now, for example, as you are involved in holistic wealth management, you do a financial plan, you find out that the client needs an estate plan and a second to die insurance policy. Well, if you farm it out to this particular individual, he's going to get paid on the business very, very handsomely. In fact, the highest fees, commissions are in the insurance area, bar none. They are just the highest. And so the question then is, from a collaborative perspective, a control perspective, maintaining the share of the client's wallet, all of the other competing firms and organizations out there are trying to get an entryway into the client's share of wallet. So the disruption is, how do you disrupt that? How do we disrupt the you know, your team? Well, if I can get a back door into your client relationship through insurance, and then move into some other areas, I can do it. You know, because the insurance companies are offering bank card services, cash management, financial planning, mutual funds, and investments. So what you do now is you open up the conversation and the client relationship to that potential engagement. Now, being objective, I don't know that I would want to open up my client relationships that I've worked so hard for to someone that's not under my umbrella.
Yeah, I agree.
Or an external team member.
I agree.
So how do you then solve the problem? Well, what you do is you're going to probably, if you work your referral system and the network as we've discussed, you're going to have more potential clients coming your way than you're going to be willing to take. So you're not going to really have that as an issue. But what you want to do is provide the holistic services so that nobody gets an inroad into your client relationship. Now, what's the solution? Try to have an internal collaborative model that could work, which is better. Someone that's inside that does your insurance business. And or, over time, develop a team member that's going to do that business. So a team member, and we're a little premature talking about that, but one of the things that we can engage with you on is how do you select, identify, and onboard a team member for the future if that's what your team needs. Okay? So I applaud you for thinking that way, but the other part is that, you know, once you give up a little bit of that control, and believe me, the insurance person, when they sit down to do an underwriting for a policy, they're going to know pretty much everything there is to know about your client, especially if it's part of an estate plan. They're going to know where all the assets are located. They're going to know about the client's health. They're going to know about the children. So you're opening up the relationship and the wallet share to a competitor. That's as simple as I could put it.
Okay.
That makes sense. I mean, one of the concerns, too, we had was that it seemed like his whole approach was, I'm going to sell him as much insurance as I can, and then whatever's left over, I'll pitch to you. Now, of course, he throws out the dangling carrot of, I've got this $5 million account that's with Edward Jones, and they've already verbally told me they want to change brokers and advisors and blah, blah, blah. So he's good at dangling the carrot. I think everything you said, though, is spot on, because I'm like, I don't see how we don't run up against a situation where we're like, well, that's not what we would normally recommend. But, you know, as I said to Audra, I said I'd have a whole lot easier time accepting clients from him than I would sending clients to him.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're not giving him business, then why is he going to be incented to bring us?
Yeah, then it doesn't really work. Insurance agents, if you were putting together a mastermind group and you had somebody in the property casualty area,
we do. It's one of the ones we have, actually. Yeah.
Now that works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it
works. That works.
Same target market, and we're not bumping up against each other in terms of what we're offering to the client.
Competing interests. Yes. You don't want the competing interest scenario with these mastermind groups.
Okay.
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 And that one is clearly a competing interest. They see when they say it isn't. Mm-hmm.
He, and, you know, kind of really listening to everything that he said,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the, I'm not going to say that we necessarily are lacking in this area, but he ends up taking control of the cross-client relationship because he is an excellent benefit salesperson. He doesn't sell the vehicle that is going to provide a solution. He talks mm-hmm. about the benefits of the solution, and he focuses on that. And he sells the client on that, and he probably talks about that better than any of the other advisors in the room. So consequently, the client then just naturally gravitates towards him. And
he does it in a form, from what I can gather, what he's told us so much this far, and hopefully I'm not interrupting Audra, and you were through with your comment there.
No?
But
yeah.
You know, because the tax law changed so much and the estate tax exposure picture has changed radically since December 2010.
Yeah, the exemptions are so high.
He's driving actually in a niche that we have some expertise in, which is exit planning for business owners. But instead of sort of doing holistic planning for them, he goes in and he maybe introduces them to some different people that can help them exit their business and sell it. And then his portion of it, where he's making his big money, is in guaranteeing income vis-a-vis either some sort of insurance solution or an annuity solution that's tied to, say, an equity index annuity or something of that sort.
Yeah.
And he starts talking, you know, he'll get to the wife of the business owner and say, how much income would you like to see guaranteed, you know? And I think what Roger's hitting on is he really sucks them into this conversation of like, well, here's your guaranteed income for the rest of your life off of this pending business sale. And he can't cram every dollar of the business sale into an insurance product or an annuity, so inevitably he's left with some meat on that bone that's sort of got to go to something that's not an insurance or an annuity-based solution. And he doesn't want to deal with the investment side of things, and so he's like, well, you know, I've got to find somebody to handle that. And so, you know, I've got all the concerns that you have articulated extremely well, Curtis, combined with I just don't know from a doing the right thing for the client perspective that that's I know that's what we would I know that's not what we would do in that situation. You know, we wouldn't start with the insurance first. Most of our insurance work is in the traditional lines of insurance. It's the ILID, it's the you know, annuity if they need it, but it's 2 or 3% of our book, not 80% of our book, you know, and so I really think we would end up probably, as much as we'd like his personality and all, I think we'd end up butting heads eventually over the issue of suitability.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and the other part is that, you know, look, the insurance guys, when they're looking at businesses, you know, they're doing what I call shareholder liquidity plans, where they insure the lives of either partners or shareholders, so that in the event that a shareholder, you know, passes the buy sell agreement, key man, you know, all those things, it's almost, if you're going to get into that area, which is, you know, a niche and a business development area, then you should be thinking about bringing somebody on either internally or within the ecosystem of your firm to do that business.
We've got it identified, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somebody internal.
Yeah, I've got to really sit down with Audra and Bridget and make sure that they're on board with it 100%.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it in future calls. But, no, we've already kind of got that person at least initially screened. Now, whether it'll be the final go-to or not remains to be seen, because I don't want to make the decision in a vacuum. But,
pretty
far along in those discussions.
Yeah, so what we're saying here is that there's probably the potential conflict, competing interests, and I'm sure that your compliance department would not like you referring clients to external insurance agents to get a foothold in the client you know, the client business. So
great point, because we're still going to be liable.
Yeah, because you made that referral. So I would, look, lawyers, CPAs, property casualty, the things that you don't do, the other things that this insurance person does, which are very good, very credible, you know, somehow have to be incorporated within your business. And Kelly and Audra, I don't expect you all to necessarily be experts in everything. And so a collaborative model means that you have to find either internally or via an additional team member the expertise you need as you move into, you know, different, you know, kind of niche markets.
Got it.
So, okay. Let's see, two more failure points, 6 and 7. You know, you gotta put time on the schedule for having your prospecting meetings. So everything gets scheduled, so, you know, the failure to do that would be a failure point for acquisition. And just the overall failure to articulate your Supernova service model. That would be a failure point, not implementing your 12-4-2, you know, strategy. Okay, so the final thing before we close today is just the game board. You know, make sure that you are keeping track of your activity on the game board. You should be tracking 7 activities with goals for each. You know, your client meetings, your prospect meetings, your COI meetings, your mastermind group meetings, your referral meetings, your niche market meetings, and any community board work that you're doing or social media strategy. That's a lot. I don't expect all of those things to come together in a period of 11 or 12 weeks. That's just, that's a lot. But clearly, the first few should be executed on. So when you're talking about the team communication and business planning, you're gonna come in, you're gonna have your daily stand up. That's maybe 10 minutes. Bridget, what's going on? This is what I got going on. Bridget says this is what she's got going on. Audra says this is what I got going on. Okay? That's daily, 10 minutes. Weekly, you're gonna spend a half hour on the game board. Spend a half hour talking about results. You know, this is what we set out to do. This is what we accomplished for the week. What did we fall short? What were the gaps? You know, you're going to ask yourself those questions. Monthly, once a month, spend 2 hours on planning. You know, how are we doing versus plan? Just a strategy session, and it might involve a meal, whatever, but it's a monthly planning meeting. And each team member brings their folder with their notes. The agendas are pre-established so that you don't, you know, show up and nobody knows what you're going to talk about. It could be focused discussion when you have agendas. You know, so it's you're gonna run them just like you'd run a board meeting for nonprofits. You know, let's hear from each of the committee heads. You know, what's the new business? How are we doing on our initiatives? Let's, you know, get the reports. Quarterly meeting, once a quarter, half day, 5-star reports on progress. And they may not be that long because your team is a little small and you may not do a full half day. But once a quarter, you're going to have that meeting and talk about that progress. Annually, one-day strategy, thinking outside the box. Each member of the team has looked at the plan and looked at the initiatives and looked at what you accomplished and looked at shortcomings, looked at things that you really did well. Okay? And then leadership. You know, everybody is kind of a de facto leader that's accountable for something on the team. So, where there's no accountability, there's no results. Okay? So if the calendar and the schedule is Bridget's responsibility, then Bridget, you have to drive it. You have to control it. You have to take charge. If the game board is Audra's responsibility and looking at the numbers, looking at the results, I don't know how you all have divvied up the delegation of duties and responsibilities, but make sure that these things aren't in thin air, that each person has a level of responsibility. That's it. Questions?
I've got a comment. I think in the next monthly meeting, which is coming up here, I think next week on the 9th, if I remember right, let's just make sure that we've got those duties outlined the way we want to outline them. Let's go over the business goals together. Let's make sure all three of us are comfortable with the delegated roles so that, you know, we want to have total clarity on the division of duties on that. I think we've got real good clarity as far as who's doing what within the team on a daily basis. I think as far as monitoring and the goals and staying accountable to the goals, I think we need to work on making sure we have that division of responsibility down. I think it was back in week, I don't know, maybe it was 4 or 5, somewhere in there. We can go back to the manual and sort of use that as a guide.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be complicated. I mean, we don't need to spend, you know, an hour on it. We can just kind of go, okay, Bridget, you got the calendar and you got, you know, the schedule, and Audra, you're head of strategy. Kelly, you got to make the outbound calls or whatever to these GFIs or prospects or whatever. I just want to put it in writing just so that we have to understand.
The less administrative function you have, Kelly, is probably the best. But take a look at the business plan and make sure that there isn't a template in there that you could modify. And talk about your team's vision and talk about, you know, what the end game is for the team and where you're headed. And Audra, I think when you reached out and had that conversation with the insurance guy, that's the type of thing to do where you're in there, you're evaluating this person's skills, capability, and you're looking at where does this fit with what we're doing, what are the potential conflicts, pitfalls, and, you know, to what extent does our team give up control? And so those are questions you ask when you're, you know, just kind of interacting and trying to decide who's really worthy of, you know, of working with you. Okay? All right.
All right.
Well, look, you all have, you know, a great week. I keep making a dent on that business plan, and, you know, feel free to call me or email me for any additional questions.
Okay. Thank you.
That's good. Thank
you. All righty. You all are doing well. Thanks.
Quick question.
Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, before we depart here, I guess Lori's going to follow up with us. Just so everybody's on board, we're going to go from having weekly calls now to monthly calls.
Okay, how do you all feel about that?
Yeah, that's good.
He's aware of that. Lori Shally's aware of that. And so y'all know, I mean, because the next call will be the first long gap that we've had where we've been accustomed the last, 10 or 12.
You're going to have withdrawals. You're going to have withdrawals from not talking to me on a weekly basis.
We're on week 12, so there's not a week 13. We now go into monthly calls for the next 9 months through the month of December, okay?
That's right.
Okay.
So we'll get you all the details on when that next call will be.
Okay. Yeah, Lori will do that, and this will give you plenty of time to start implementing, executing, and these calls now are clearly about your agenda. I have some team leadership modules that I could spend a little bit of time on in terms of team development. So, you know, there will always be, there won't be a lack of topics to talk about. But in advance of those monthly meetings, you know, I'm fine with you all establishing some topics that you want to talk about and emailing them to me.
Cool. Well, okay. We'll take you up on that for sure.
Okay, because these are your meetings. These are for you now, and I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing the conversation.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All righty. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.